Hold steady, because God wants to say something to you today. I've prayed and sought the Lord about this message, and I believe it's a word we all need to hear. It's called paying it forward. The debt of love we owe, pay it forward. Turn to your neighbor and say, pay it forward. You know, last week, I'm trying to reflect a little bit and sort of glean from some of the experiences that I had last week as a pastor. My wife, if it wasn't enough that we received cards and encouragement and a lot of people hugged us and prayed for us and blessed us, then she gave me a whole bundle of emails of people that couldn't be here last week but sent a word of encouragement, a word of thanks and congratulations and so on. And I took those Monday night, and I was all by myself in a library, and I was reading through them, and I just really got emotional. Really got emotional, because you realize that your life has the potential to touch somebody. You know, somebody once said, no man is an island. Your life is not just unto yourself. You're not just living your life unto yourself. Your children are impacted by your life. Your spouse is impacted by your life. Your people at work, colleagues at work, at school, everywhere you go, people are affected by your life. And I believe it was Brother Joe, our precious dear friend, and good to see you, Gina. Welcome back. I was telling the folks my knuckles were getting red from knocking on the door, heaven's door. We were praying for you every Wednesday, and we love you so much, and we're glad you're back. Thank you so much. But Brother Joe was praying a few weeks ago, and we asked for God's blessing over the 50th anniversary, and he said something that's been resonating in my heart. He said, Lord, thank you for a man who said yes to you 50 years ago, but also continues to say yes to you. And I thought, that's a transferable truth. That's not just something that's true for me. It's also true for you. When you say yes to God and you live a life of submission to God, it doesn't mean that you're perfect. And believe me, if anything, I could spend a lot of time pointing out my weaknesses. If I tell you about some of the crazy stuff I got involved with as a teenager and some of the things and how my attitude was really in need of first aid, you know, from heaven, you would be shocked. But I want to tell you, God didn't give up on me. And the point is, God doesn't give up on you either. All of us are a work in process. So God is trying to shape our lives and to work inside of us every day, but we have to cooperate with God. We have to say yes when God says, no, I want you to do it this way. If God says, show up at 7 o'clock at my spiritual gym, then you need to show up at the gym. And spiritually speaking, you need to say, okay, God, you're my trainer. What are we doing today? You know, and just like a person hires a physical trainer, you know, a personal trainer, we have a spiritual trainer. We have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who are at work within us. Philippians 2:13 says, to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is at work, and he chose us. He chose us. I was talking to somebody this week who was struggling a little bit with insecurity. Have you ever met somebody who's very insecure? And it comes out because they start to, when you're meeting with them, having coffee or having lunch, they start to say, you know, I don't understand why this person was hired and I wasn't. Or why did this happen for that? And maybe I'm not really a good mom. Or maybe I'm not really a good employee. Or maybe I'm not really a good Christian. And we are plagued with insecurity and self-doubt because we don't understand how much God loves us. And, you know, one of the mottos of my life has always been getting to know Jesus, loving him, serving him, and knowing him is the greatest thing that could ever happen to anybody. So I want to say it again this morning. If you want to understand my life and what I can gladly pass on to you about what's important in this life after 50 years, I want to tell you, getting to know Jesus, loving him, serving him are some of the greatest things that could ever happen to you. But this week, because of the 50th anniversary and because of some other ways in which God's been speaking to me, God reminded me of something. There's one missing piece out of those three: knowing Christ, loving Christ, and then serving Christ. Serving Christ, the three. Did I say that already? Loving Christ, knowing Christ, and serving? All right. There's one thing missing. You know what it is? Knowing how much he loves you first. And it just hit me. If you do not understand and dwell on the fact that I am a person chosen by God, I am a person that was loved even before I knew how to serve him, even before, you know, I became a real devoted follower of Christ. He loved me and died for me. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us. And I was trying to explain to this person that I was meeting with that your problem is not that enough good things are not happening to you. Sometimes we think that our problem is, I don't get enough breaks. How come somebody else got the scholarship and I didn't? How come somebody else got a promotion? How come somebody else receives all the compliments? How come somebody else looks better on Facebook than I do? Come on now. Come on now. When you reach my age, you know, it's a little harder to look good. You know what I'm saying? So you got to work harder at it. Come on now. Amen. And the point I was trying to make to this person, I want to share from my heart with you today, is you can only get so much encouragement from books, from people, even motivational speakers. Even a husband who loves his wife dearly can't do everything for his wife. Even a wife who loves her husband dearly, devoted to her husband dearly, can't do everything. If your husband is insecure or your wife is insecure or if your teenager is insecure, there's a part of them that has to connect with God. If you don't connect with God, you're not going to understand that you are valuable. You're not going to understand that you are the pearl. The Bible talks about the pearl of great price. The man who found the pearl was willing to give everything he had in exchange for that pearl. And then you also understand that Jesus is the pearl. You know, the parable goes both ways. Jesus is also the pearl because we're willing to give our lives back to him because he's the best thing we've ever found. Can you say amen? Amen. There is always a danger in your Christian walk of taking the love of God for granted. So now I've added a fourth principle to my life's story. It's not that I know Christ, love Christ, and serve Christ. It's that he loved me so much that I can't help but love him back. I can't help but want to know him. I can't help but want to serve him. And there's a level that you have to connect with God spiritually that affects you in a deep place. Because there's some of you who are here, you've been taught to be respectful, you've been taught to go to church, and you've been taught that, you know, even to have a fear of God, a proper fear of God, a reverence for God. So that's all good. But that's not going to keep you. That's not the deepest level of understanding that God wants you to have. The deepest level is to love God deeply in such a way that it is an affectionate, heartfelt connection that it goes beyond just an obligation. It goes beyond just crossing off another box. Well, I read my Bible today. I went to church this week. I didn't beat anybody up this week. I didn't curse anybody out. You know, I didn't rob any banks. Okay, that's great. You know, I'm glad you didn't do that. How many of you know being in love with Jesus is a lot different than just obligation? You know, I don't, you know, tell my wife, you know, honey, you know, I brought home a paycheck. You know, honey, I cut the grass. You know, honey, I even washed the dishes. Therefore, that proves that I love you. Well, it does in a way. But I better love her a lot more deeply than just based on what I do or what I can do or what I don't do. Amen. We got a in love couple right there. Amen. All right. That's a good thing. You know, I was thinking about Harry's grandmother, Maria Medrano. She was here a few weeks ago visiting, and she's from Nicaragua, right? And she doesn't speak hardly a word of English. But one thing she knew how to say is, I love Jesus. She got up here, and that reminded me of my Uncle Joe. You know, I've talked about Uncle Joe. He hardly spoke English either, you know. His English was kind of tough. But, you know, I was with him on the day he passed away. He was 94 years old. I was visiting him at the rehab center. And he's trying to explain to me his story. And he's saying, Davey, I don't know what to say. It was broken English. I just love a Jesus. And that's kind of, you know, what it comes back to. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? It's not just loving Jesus, because if you don't, you're going to get kicked out of heaven or you're not going to go to heaven. That's not the best motivation. Fear is not the best motivation. You should be good because you're going to get thrown in jail. You know, or you should love, you know, you should love people because otherwise nobody will like you. That's not really the best. We should be good and we should love because that's the Holy Spirit inside of us imparting the nature of Jesus Christ. And we can't help but love. We can't help but do the things we do because we're connected to a different life source. Are you deeply connected to Him? Is there a level of affection that even if you were, you know, and this could happen. It happens in other countries. They come into a church like this with guns. Okay, every one of you here who is ready to renounce Christ, you can leave. This has literally happened. But those of you who won't renounce Christ, we're going to line you up against the wall here and shoot you. Wow. You might say, oh, that's far-fetched. No, that has happened in our lifetime, in our world, in our lifetime. Yes. Yes. It's happening in the country. I keep track of these things. I read stuff all about it all the time. Yes. It's then that, well, you know, my mother said I should go to church. That's not going to keep you. Right. Or I'm afraid if I don't go to church that maybe I'll miss heaven. No, that's not good. What's going to keep you at that point is, I love Jesus so much. Hey, if you take me out, I'm just going to be with Jesus. I mean, I'm not in a rush to get to heaven. But I'm telling you, I'm sure this morning as I'm standing here, if somebody ran in here with a gun and took me out, I would see Jesus. Because absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. Somebody say, give God a praise. Give Him a praise right now. Give Him some praise. This is the greatest motivation in telling others about Christ. Yes. Paul says the love of Christ compels us. Are you compelled? Compelled, moved by love. I like the way it says it in this translation. It says, for it is Christ's love that fuels our passion and motivates us because we are absolutely convinced that He has given His life for all of us. One time, I think I may have told you this story, but if you're new here, you haven't probably heard it. But I was coming back from a medical appointment where they were checking my lungs to see if I had a mass in my lungs. And I was at the pulmonary group in downtown Orlando, and they had an x-ray with something that obviously was like a mass on my lungs. And how many of you know that's not a very friendly feeling right there? That could make you have a rough day, you know, right there. And eight days later, I went to have an MRI, and they did a complete scan of my lungs. And after my doctor, who was here Sunday, Dr. Barry, a short little gentleman that was here last Sunday, he called me up. He said, I did you a favor, and I called the hospital, and I got the results. There's nothing in your lungs, nothing whatsoever. Nothing, nothing. They had an x-ray that showed a mass, and then there was nothing. Somebody give God some praise in this house. So, understandably, now I'm elated. You know, because I thought maybe I'm dying. You know, but then I'm driving home. And now I'm not dying. How many of you know it's good to not be dying instead of dying? It's good, right? It's a good thing. So as I'm driving home and I'm praising God and all elated and so on and so forth, the Lord spoke to me. He says, David, I want you to remember, today I showed you the value of your life. Now, every person that you see coming down the street, every stranger that you meet, remember, I value their life just as much as your life. Wow. What a wake-up call that was. Every life is precious to God. Every life. He died for every soul. He is not willing that any should perish. Hallelujah. He is not willing. He died so that we who live should no longer live for ourselves. Paul the Apostle said, I am a debtor to all men. I owe something. No, we don't owe a guilt offering. We can't pay for our sins. So stop trying. Remember I was running around with that bag of stuff on my shoulder last week? Where's Harry? Harry was helping me get rid of my burden. Then what happened? After I was walking with God for a while, I picked my burden back up again. So I'm not asking you to pick your burden back up, because God has erased your sins. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to pay for it. But there is one thing that God is looking for from us. A response of love. Turn to your neighbor and say, a response of love. Paul says, I am a debtor to all men. What kind of a debtor? Well, later on in Romans 13, I think we have this on the screen. Romans 13, he says it this way. He says, let no debt remain outstanding. In other words, pay your taxes, pay your bills, give honor to whom honor is due. But then he says, except, everybody say, except, the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves has fulfilled the law. So, you know, the songwriter who wrote the song, you know, I had a debt that I could not pay. He paid a debt that he did not owe. Remember that song? I owed a debt I could not pay. That was the debt of sin. That was paid for. And don't let anybody ever make you feel insecure about your position in Christ. Every one of you who has faith in Jesus Christ, if you believe in his sacrifice, if you believe in what he did for you on the cross, not in your works, not in how religious you are, but you believe with all your heart that his death paid for your sins. If you believe that, you're saved. Amen. And if you know, the rapture take place, we all go to heaven. If you believe that, you would go to heaven immediately. But, there is something that I think we forget about, and it has to do with this issue of how love impacts your life. I think that all of us need to be reminded of the fact that we owe a debt of love, not that we're paying for our sins, but we can help God in his mission to show others the love that we have received. Yes. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Yes. Psalm 116 says, what can I give unto the Lord in return for all his benefits towards me? How can I repay him for his precious blessings? What can I give to the Lord for all of his benefits towards me? How can I repay him for his precious blessings? Yes. And the answer to that question is, we can't give anything in one sense to earn our salvation or to earn the privilege of being in his family, because in Christ Jesus, we were already adopted into the family of God. Amen. Amen. But then, on the other hand, we can give our whole life back to God as a love offering back to God. Amen. Yes. You know, like somebody said one time, you know, what you are, you know, your parents made you, you know, they had a child, but what you become and what you give back to God is your gift back to God. Yes. Yes. We must love God with all of our heart. Amen. Yes. Make him number one in our life. Let love be the greatest motivation. Yes. Understand that it is not an obligation of guilt, but it's a privilege. It's a privilege to love others. What Brother Lanre was saying before, It's not something that is a guilt trip. Amen? It is something that we do because we are overflowing with the gratitude and appreciation for how much he has loved us in spite of ourselves. You know, loving people with God's love is not just putting up with them. Come on. It's not like the love of the world. The love of the world is very conditional. I love you as long as you do what I want. I love you as long as you look good. I love you as long as you make me happy. I love you as long as you have money. Those are what's called conditional love. But God loved us while we were still sinners. God loves us even now when we may mess up. Just like you parents who are here, if your children does something wrong and they disobey you, you don't kick them out of your family. They're still your child. You still love them. You're still going to pray for them. This is the kind of love that God wants us to have for the world. It's more than just feeling sorry for them. It's being willing to do something about it. Come on now. Jesus said it this way. He said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send or thrust laborers into his harvest. In John chapter 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming. The night is coming when no man can work. In other words, there's a window of opportunity that we have. And we are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. That's why the name of our church is Catalyst. A catalyst is a chemical description of something that affects the surrounding area, like salt is a catalyst. Light is a catalyst because it changes the condition of what it touches or what it goes near. We should be catalysts for God. And again, I'm not saying that you're called to be an evangelist or you're called to be the next, you know, Billy Graham or whatever. But where you are, you can be missional. Everybody say the word missional. Missional. Means that every one of us is a missionary. Every one of us is an ambassador for Christ. When Jesus saw the crowds, he was deeply moved with pity, for they were confused and aimless. And one translation says they were bewildered and lost, bewildered as a flock of sheep with no shepherd. How do you feel when you see crowds of people? I used to always feel like, man, this line is never going to move, you know. It's going to mean more traffic. It's going to mean I'm going to have to be inconvenienced in some way. But the Bible says that, and this is a conviction to me too. I'm not just preaching at you this morning. I'm talking to myself. As he looked at the vast crowds, he was deeply moved with pity for them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were bewildered. They were confused. They were lost. Where would you be today if Jesus didn't love you? Turn to your neighbor and say, where would I be? Where would you be if Jesus didn't love you? Where would Pastor Dave be if Jesus didn't love me? I want to close with this morning. I didn't have any special talents. I didn't have anything special about me that God should notice me. I was one of nine children. Grew up in a poor family, working class family. Everybody had to go to work. When we were 12 years old, we're all out to work. I was very... what's a nice way of putting it? Rough around the edges when I was a teenager. But God loved me. And that love is profound. That love is the greatest virtue. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen to somebody. That you are loved, accepted, and made valuable just because of his choice. He chose me. Say it with me. He chose me. He didn't have to, but he chose me. He chose me. What can we do for others? We have a handout we're going to give to you today. Brother Lanre has in the back. It has to do with reaching out, and it has a lot of good notes and tips on how to share your story, how to share God's story with people, how to have a conversation with somebody. So please see, I think we only have about 20 of these or so, but the first 20 who get them, and here's an extra one up here. And I do want to encourage you to come Saturday. We're not going to go out knocking on people's doors. I want to make clear what exactly we do when we prayer walk. We don't bang on people's doors and force them into a conversation. We walk. We pray, and we walk. We walk past houses, and we pray. Say, God bless this home, whatever's going on behind these doors. We ask that the kingdom of God would come. The will of God be done. We declare the kingdom of God as we go. You know, Jesus said, go out and declare peace wherever you go. Lord, we pray that peace will come to this community, that the King of Peace will be acknowledged in our community, in Meadowood, in South Chase and Kissimmee and all of these areas, BVL, and I'm trying to remember all the communities around us here. We want the King of Kings to come. Amen. It changes the atmosphere. When the devil thinks that his earthly domain is uncontested, he just stays put. But when we go out as the light of the world and as ambassadors for Christ, we reclaim the enemy territory. We reclaim that territory. We're praying. We're not out, again, primarily trying to, you know, see how many, people we can talk to in one day. That's not the objective. We do chat with people. If we see somebody washing their car, or we see somebody cutting the grass, we just say, we're praying for our community. We're from Catalyst Church. We're praying. Do you have any prayer needs? We love this community. We're praying for this community. Yeah. That's what we do on Saturday. Amen. So it's very easy for everyone to come. 10 o'clock Saturday morning. You can pray. You can share your story. You can invite somebody to the church. And you can practice how to share his story. If you can't even remember a scripture verse, you can tell your testimony. This is what Jesus did for me. I was lost, but now I found. I was blind, but now I see. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him, not perish, but have everlasting life. You could memorize one verse. There's always a way. And you could be a friend. If you're going to be in proximity with somebody, like a neighbor or a colleague at work, don't preach the whole Bible at them in one shot. Become their friend. When you become somebody's friend, they're more apt to listen to you. Become their friend and make sure your influence is greater than their influence. But, you know, then you'll have the opportunity to influence them with your love and do some acts of kindness to get their attention. They'll ask you for, what is it about you? And Peter says, be ready to give an answer to those who ask you about the hope that is within you. If someone were to ask you, why is it, Tommy, that you seem to have hope? Why is it, Angel, you seem to have hope? You need to be ready to give an answer. My hope is in God. The reason I have hope, even though the world is messed up, is because my life is founded in a different realm, a different kingdom. I'm connected to a source, a spiritual source that is not of this world. Hallelujah. We are in the world, but not of the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment and join with me in prayer. I'm going to ask if there's anybody here today. Pastor Angela, join me here for a second. If there's anybody here today who is not sure that they have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, you're not sure that if you were to suddenly close your eyes in death today, would you be in heaven? Are your sins forgiven? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know that your sins are forgiven? If not, we want to pray with you. My wife and I want to pray with you this morning. We're not going to embarrass you. We're just going to say a prayer together. The Bible says that we need to admit that we are not God. Listen, friend. Listen to what I'm saying. Young person, teenager. God can't be God and you can't be God at the same time. If you're sitting on the throne, then that means God is not sitting on the throne of your life. If you've made God second place, then he's not first place. I have a word I just want to share quickly before Pastor Angela is going to come and close in prayer. But if you're sitting here today and you feel there's something missing in your life, I feel like the Lord is trying to point out something, that there's a part of your life that you're not willing to trust God with. It could be even your own failure. It could be your own fault. It could be something that you say, I know I'm going to mess this up again, and so I'm not going to surrender this to God. But I'm telling you today, if you take a step towards Jesus and say, I'm trusting you, Lord, that your grace is greater than my sin. Your grace is greater than my hang-ups. Lord, my insecurities are nothing compared to your love for me. You are valued by God. You are loved by him. He was willing to die for you. That song that Brother Joe sings, he thought I was to die for. He thought I was worth saving.
Sometimes we try to love others and we haven't let the love of God fully grip our hearts, and then we find ourselves drained and guilt prone and frustrated and maybe not having the same impact. That's why what Pastor was talking about today is so important, that when we know we're loved and we feel secure in his love, we can give our lives away freely without worrying, without, Lord, you've loved me, so I pay it forward. So, God, I pray that you would grip each of our hearts, Lord, and that we would know how greatly you love us. Even in the night, Lord, I pray sometimes you come to me, even in the night hours, and show me how much you love me, and it blows me away, Lord. And I can get up and face the future because he lives and because he loves me. So, Lord, I pray that people today would let this message sink deep in their heart, Lord, that you want us to be secure, not in ourselves, but in you, Lord. How much you love us, that you've given us gifts and you've given us purpose. You've given us influence for the kingdom of God. So we let it flow freely like a river through us to touch this world. And I pray, Lord, that we would see amazing things done for your honor and glory. Lord, touch through me. Speak through me. Love through me, Lord. Holy Spirit, flow through me to my neighbors, God, to those I come in contact with. Lord, I admit to you, I don't have enough in myself. I don't. I run dry, Lord. I'm weary. But you are boundless in love. You are boundless in energy and give to those who ask. So we believe that today you want to change that paradigm from a religious spirit that just wants to give from guilt and perform to letting the love of Jesus flow through us. Flow through us, God. Hallelujah. There's no end to what you can do when your love flows through us, Lord. And we thank you. Bless us as we go into the mission field. Watch over each family. Cover them with the blood of Jesus. We pray, Lord, you would surround us, as this song says, with your love. And Lord, may your love shine through us in Jesus' holy, matchless name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.